Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, Jim. And as usual, our good martini means something bad is happening to one of the major party presidential nominees. Today, it's Hillary Clinton. This story actually broke yesterday, thanks to the Associated Press doing a lot of digging into Hillary Clinton's calendars while she was Secretary of State and realizing who she was meeting with outside of government officials and foreign dignitaries and so forth. Here's CBS News explaining what the AP discovered.
According to the Associated Press, at least 85 of 154 people from the private sector who had meetings or phone calls scheduled with Clinton donated to the Clinton Foundation or to its international programs. This information comes from a review of State Department calendars released to the Associated Press. In total, the 85 donors contributed as much as $156 million, the AP reports. At least 40 of them donated more than $100,000 individually, and 20 gave more than $1 million individually.
And Jim, one of the best parts of this is the Clinton campaign is saying, you didn't have all the calendars, so your numbers aren't right, when in reality, the AP fought the State Department for 3 years just to get what it has.
Yeah, there's a very simple way of solving that problem, which is to release all of our calendars. If the undisclosed portions of the calendars have lots and lots of people who had no business with the Clinton Foundation, well, then there's no reason to withhold them, right? Nobody intentionally withholds their own exculpatory evidence. And the Clinton Foundation wants us to believe that there's something out there that, you know, totally indicates this is all just totally coincidental. Look, Greg, if you or I wanted an appointment with John Kerry, do you think we'd have a good chance of getting one?
Probably not.
Right? You know, you can go down the list, Hillary Clinton, Condi Rice, Colin Powell. A meeting with the Secretary of State is you know, it's a valuable bit of time. You don't just show up and knock on the door at Foggy Bottom and say, hey, I'd like to speak to the Secretary today. Now, this is the USA Today, no less. The editorial board is saying it's time to shut down the Clinton Foundation. They point to these series of, you know, if you donated $1 million, lo and behold, you had a very good chance of getting a meeting with the Secretary of State. They also point out, look, she gave key State Department aides permission to work for the Clinton Foundation while they worked at State and drew paychecks from a Clinton-affiliated for-profit consulting firm. I believe that's Teneo, and that probably applies to, I think they have Huma Abedin in mind when they discuss this. Emails from her private server reveal communications between Foundation representatives and her aides about setting up meetings between America's top diplomats and the Clinton Foundation's top donors, including Gilbert Chegory, a Lebanese-Nigerian billionaire. I keep hearing this thing like, look, they had access, but they didn't get favors. And I don't know about you, Greg. That seems like a really fine line to be drawing here, because if you don't get the access, you don't get the chance to pitch the favor. You don't get a chance to ask for the favor. The defense, Greg, is that Hillary is an ingrate and that all these people gave all this money and she didn't give them anything in return.
How do we know they didn't get anything in return?
Fair point. You know, but the idea is like no, totally. We were absolutely heartless to these generous donors. We took them for granted. We took them for a ride. We played them for suckers. And that's what, and that's why you should trust us.
Oh, yes. Trust. That's what they've built up.
Not the kind of crook who stays bought, I guess, is the defense we're seeing here.
Once again, Hillary Clinton's on the defensive. And now it turns out, Jim, just as an aside, that her plan is not to really respond like a 5-alarm fire, according to Politico. She's just going to basically try to run out the clock, because she thinks the people are tired about her scandals and that no matter how bad her scandals are, they still prefer her to Trump.
You know, this is a good segue to our bad martini. Greg, football season is nearly here. Does it feel like we're watching one team take a knee in the third quarter? All right, victory formation. All right, everybody line up. Everybody try to avoid the fumble with Herm Edwards grabbing it and carrying it back. Just take a knee, run out the clock. It's not even September yet.
The sad thing is it might work. Right now I've seen a poll that they're tied in Missouri.
Utah still looks okay. So there you go.
Even
take that, Trump critics.
That's right. Even with McMullen factored in, Trump's still up double figures in Utah now. So breathe easy. Breathe easy, Team Trump. Okay, on to the bad martini now. And this is courtesy of Anthony Fisher over at Reason.com's Hit and Run blog. The tragedy of Venezuela continues unabated, but that doesn't mean that government of President Nicolas Maduro has stopped trying to fix problems like the devastating scarcity of food, which has led to malnutrition, riots, food truck hijackings, vigilante lynchings of petty thieves, and the starvation of zoo animals. No, Maduro hasn't admitted the failure of Chavismo, the brand of Bolivarian socialism imposed on the oil-rich country by his late predecessor, Hugo Chavez. Instead, Venezuela's embattled leader has launched a war on anxiety. The National Superintendency of Fair Prices has reportedly instituted a policy of fining bakeries that allow lines to stretch out their front doors, according to the Pan Am Post. The head of this particular bureaucracy, William Contreras, claims the lines aren't a true indicator of a severe shortage of bread, but rather a political strategy of generating anxiety. Other things, Contreras was quoted by El Tiempo as saying the long lines represented fairly clear political intentions and purposes, such as destabilizing the economy and breaking the morale of the people. This is in keeping with Maduro's deflection of the blame he deserves for destroying Venezuela's economy, which he puts at the feet of U.S.-backed agitators engaging in economic war by keeping things like toilet paper off supermarket shelves. Jim, you hope people aren't buying this, but when you're desperate for food and slaughtering stray animals in the streets, you probably don't have a lot of time to focus on political matters. But this is what happens when socialism is allowed to flourish.
You know, Maduro, I found something else that can cause anxiety. Mass starvation.
Yes.
Economic collapse. A regime that basically looks for scapegoats and looks for people who they can use as targets of blame to divert from their own failures. That can cause a lot of anxiety. You know, and in fact, you happen to let people be free. You let people keep what they earn. You let people work for themselves. You allow people to make their own decisions. You allow them to have freedom. You allow them to have free elections. Call me crazy. I think that might relieve some of the anxiety we see in Venezuela's population. I know that, you know, complaining about lack of media coverage and all kinds of topics is you know, probably becoming a tired cliche. But am I crazy, Greg, for thinking that if there was Trumpistan or something like that, or some sort of country that was embodying the philosophy of Donald Trump or any other of the or conservative Stan or you know, something like that, San Rubio or something like that, a country that was in, you know, doing exactly what the policies of the right and it was in complete collapse, I kind of have a feeling the American media would be interested in it. Here we have socialism, the philosophy of Bernie Sanders, being tried on a massive scale, quite arguably destroying the country, that whatever comes out of this, it's not the Venezuela that we once knew. And it may never, if you're rapidly approaching the status of failed state, of near anarchy, a total collapse of rule of law and order and a functioning society. And it's kind of a, you know, back of the foreign page story, right? I mean, aren't they like one step away from cannibalism?
Pretty much.
Right? I mean, like, this, you'd think that would be, hey, what led to this? But, you know, the simplest explanation, I guess, in the minds of most American leftists, you know what they see in Venezuela? Just bad luck.
Yeah. They just didn't do it right.
It wasn't pure enough socialism.
A couple more disturbing parts to this story. Quote, even in a time of crisis when infants are dying in electricity-deprived hospitals, Maduro insisted on putting on a brave face and keeping with his government's practice of lavishly asinine spending by dropping over $400,000 on a week of celebrating the 90th birthday of Fidel Castro. He also goes on to talk about this whole battle over both the cause and greater meaning of the long line at bakeries must come as a shock to former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who once argued that bread lines in socialist or communist countries were a good thing because they proved everyone is suffering equally. That's the guy that almost half of the Democrats wanted to be president of the United States.
You know, I always thought that the North Korean regime was the worst one on the entire planet. But, you know, kudos, Venezuela, Maduro. You're really giving them a run for their money. Or maybe I should say a run for their lack of money.
Amazing. Well, that is a truly bad martini. Let's move on to the crazy. And, Jim, you addressed this, I don't know if it was yesterday, certainly sometime earlier this week, about the rumors flying around about Hillary Clinton's health. They're certainly taking up a big chunk of the Drudge Report and other places on the internet. Rudy Giuliani famously said that there was something to this story because he read it on the internet. Dr. Ben Carson has a more sober approach to this. He was on, I believe this is Morning Joe, he's speaking with Mike Barnicle and Willie Geist, and here is their conversation.
But the implication from Rudy Giuliani, what do you think about that? Sowing a seed of doubt about a person's health based upon something he read on the internet.
Well, you know, as a physician, physicians and scientists generally will not make a diagnosis based on something that they see from a long distance. They want to have the facts.
And so you would have no diagnosis yourself on Hillary Clinton, Dr. Carson?
My diagnosis would be that anybody who is elderly should expose their records, and we, the people, should know what they are, because it's a very stressful job. It's not an 8-hour-a-day job. It's 24/7, and we need to make sure that that is taken care of.
And you agree Donald Trump should be held to that same standard, because he hasn't done that either?
Absolutely, without question.
So, Jim, we know Hillary's had a few health issues. She had the blood clot, she had the fall and the knock on her head, and that sort of thing. If this had been the Trump campaign approach to this issue from the get-go, it probably wouldn't have gotten as much attention as Trump, some of the things he said and what Rudy has said. What do you make of all this?
Way back when, as Ben Carson's public enemy number one, the guy who gave him endless grief over the Manatech endorsement, it's this fear that, as the reputation of one of the world's greatest neurosurgeons, that Ben Carson was relying on that reputation and relying on that expertise and lending it out to bad ideas, to people who did not deserve his endorsement or trust. And I think you'd probably put Trump in that category too. The first half of his answer is really good and makes sense. And he says, look, I'm a doctor. I don't like to diagnose from far distance. I don't like to, you know, assess what's wrong with someone based on a television screen or something, anecdotes or something like that. But then he says they're elderly, so they should release their health records, which you can defend that. Except the problem is when a doctor comes out and says this, you know how this is going to be interpreted, right, Greg? Dr. Ben Carson wants Hillary Clinton to release her health records. You know, it's a very short step from saying, yeah, everybody has a general policy of disclosure should do so, to making that statement and suggesting that either or both have something to hide. We don't know that Hillary Clinton has a terrible health ailment. She certainly seems to be maintaining a frequent enough public appearances and rallies and things like that. Now, I do kind of wonder, Greg, does maybe she has the kind of health ailment that means she can't do a press conference for like 260 some days?
Potentially.
She's got an allergy to press conferences. Maybe that's what it is, that she can only handle the questioning from Jimmy Kimmel and people like that.
There are theories on the internet about why she's not having the press conference, and it's not just about scandals. It's about health.
You'd think that, you know, oh, she can't think on her feet. She gets easily confused. You'd think we would manifest itself at one of these rallies or something like that. And at least I don't think I've seen anything that makes me say, ah, okay, she's, you know, she's a stroke victim or something like that. I really think that of all the avenues of attack on Hillary Clinton, this is not one of the more persuasive ones. You and I will laugh at Tim Kaine for, you know, probably the rest of our lives. But I don't think Tim Kaine is like, oh, well, you know, we can't let Tim Kaine become president. Some people might say Tim Kaine might be a mild improvement. There is no Kaine Foundation selling access to foreign governments. So I'm kind of left befuddled here, and I just kind of feel like Ben Carson, because of his status as a doctor, has to be more careful here. And I just have a feeling that by the end of the day, you'll hear people saying, oh, Ben Carson says she's got to release her records. Kind of feeding to this theory that she has serious health ailments, and that's why people should vote against her, as opposed to, the multitude of reasons we discuss just about every day.
Corruption, wrong on every issue.
Arrogance, dishonesty, sense that she's above the law.
The Middle East is on fire.
At this point, what difference does it make?
Right. Oh, yes. The list is very, very long. Jim, we'll call time there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.